Our scripture morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It's a little lengthy, but it's so important, and it addresses specifically some of God's gifts to God's people, all of God's people. Listen for a word that God would have you receive today. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the one faith and of the knowledge of the chosen one of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into the one who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. May this word of God strengthen, sustain, and challenge you as you make it part of your living in the world. We're going to hear from a couple of guests this morning who are celebrating with us some of the gifts of their particular race, of their family, of their ethnicity, of their heritage. And I hope that you will just enjoy the gifts that they are sharing.
Hi, I'm Sergio Alvarado, Sergio Alvarado. I am a second generation Mexican American. I was born in South Texas, San Juan. It's part of the Rio Grande Valley. My grandparents were the first to come from Mexico to this country. My grandfathers were both fighting with Pancho Villa, but were sort of stuck in the river. And eventually, when the enemy got closer, they swam across the river. Eventually, the enemy left, and they went back to Mexico, grabbed their family, and decided that it would be better to start a life in America. So then my parents were born, and then, of course, they married and had me, and I was able to grow up in this wonderful culture in America, which is a little different than the culture in Mexico. But first, food. I grew up in my grandmother's kitchens. They were my babysitters, and I learned how to make beans, rice, tortilla, enchiladas, all the salsas and everything like that. It was wonderful growing up in those kitchens. Some of those flavors and some of those smells sometimes take me back there, and it's a wonderful place to have grown up. I love that I can feed my children these foods and these recipes, and sometimes I don't have to look at a recipe to know what I'm doing. It's just quick and easy, boom, bam, bang. And of course, sometimes it's cringeworthy to have my friends say, let's go to this place, that place, fast food, Mexican restaurants. I'm like, no, let's not do that. Let's just go back to my place. Let's open up some food. Let's grill. Let's make everything fresh from scratch. I'd rather enjoy a conversation and enjoying my friends, eating food, and even learning new ways of cooking. That's something that I was raised doing, you know, just, oh, what's that smell? Well, let me taste it. What's that flavor? Wow, I can't believe you could do that. So I love to introduce that to my other friends who were not as lucky as me to grow up in a kitchen. Another wonderful thing I loved about growing up is all of the dances. We would go to the bodas, we'd go to the quinceañeras, we would go all of these places just to dance. My mother was my first dance instructor. I remember when I was 7 years old, we were at a quinceañera. And me and my friends, we would just go and run all over the place and try to play whatever. And we're like, ah, we're ridiculous. And until luckily, our mothers decided to give us the full rundown. So I recall, you know, stepping, my mom, I'm half the size of my mom, and just stepping and following her until I learned how to do a cumbia. And then all my friends were sort of doing the same thing. And as we got a little older, you had the family parent group dancing, and then you had all the kids dancing, and it became a wonderful thing to be a part of. And as we even aged, you know, in the teenage years, all the quinceañeras, for those who don't know that, it's basically a sweet 16 for 15-year-olds. And it was so funny because, you know, all of us guys, basically what happens is a girl has a party. She gets boys and girls to dance together and one to dance with her, and we celebrate her birthday. So we would be at football practice talking about the quinceañera practice, and we go to quinceañera practice, and then we go to, you know, oh, we're gonna go dancing, let's go dancing, until we had the quinceañera. And there was about a quinceañera every month. So every month, you know, I'd have a tuxedo with purple, a tuxedo with blue, a tuxedo with peach. It was just kind of funny, but that was the culture we grew up in, trying to be all these wonderful looking boys and learning how to dance and being really respectful to women. And then, you know, we grew up even later in high school dances, graduation parties. You'd go and you'd be like, oh, and you wouldn't even show up with a date. You'd just like, oh, let's go dance, let's go dance. And you had your favorite partners and your favorite songs. And you'd be like, no, I gotta dance with you on this because I'm gonna spin you this way. And no, I gotta dance with her on this one because it's a slower song. So dancing was a big part of growing up for me, as well as the food. And the major part was probably all of the celebrations. Now, I know a lot of people love to celebrate 16 de septiembre and Cinco de Mayo, but like I said, la boda, the quinceañeras, the weddings, the high school dance, these more particular parties were larger celebrations to me than the 4th of July, sorry, the Independence Days. It's because you got to see whole families and everyone being very proud of their of whoever was being celebrated. You could talk to anyone, and if it was about quinceañera, it was about this young girl who was just going to be an adult. If it was a high school graduation, it was about, oh, how are they going to go to college, and they're going to come back, and they're going to do so many wonderful things. And you know, sometimes you'd find out, what, we're cousins? You'd see so many people, so many families together celebrating, like, I can't believe we're cousins. I sometimes drive by some of the parks here in Austin, and I see large gatherings. I'm like, oh, that's my family. Those are my friends. Not literally, but like, those are my people. I know those are my people. That's the kind of fun we would be having. So yeah, food, dancing, celebrations are a wonderful part of my culture that I can only hope that my children will be able to respect and be a part of. And I can't wait for them to be able to dance with me, be able to cook with me, and just to be able to celebrate.
Señor mi Dios, al contemplar los cielos, el firmamento y las estrellas, al oír tu voz en los potentes trueños y ver brillar el sol en su esplendor, mi corazón entona la canción. Cuán grande on the cell. Mi corazón entona la canción. Cuán grande es él, cuán grande es él.
Hello, Uprising family. My name is Samantha. Y'all know me as Sam. Well, I want to say that I am grateful for MCC, Uprising. First of all, let me say that I was born and raised in Louisiana. I grew up Southern Baptist, so that's where my core foundation is. Well, I moved to Austin when I turned 21. By this time, I am now the mother of four black sons. If you watch anything on the news or Austin Chronicles, one of my children was downtown and got hit. Well, two of my children were down for the protests and one of my sons was injured. Well, it may not seem like this would actually fit in this particular segment because I'm grateful because of what I found out about my children through this ordeal. My children grew up going to MCC, and that's where they got their spiritual foundations. And I can honestly say that being a part of this community, this congregation, helped me to show my children love, compassion, and respect for all people. And that showed up after my son was hit at the protest. And if you follow anything about him, he will mention that even though he was injured, it didn't change his beliefs or his faith or his love for human. Whether it's black, white, Hispanic, there's love in my children. And I am so grateful that this community helped me to give my children that.
Your son was hit by one of the rubber bullets?
Yes, ma'am. He was at the protests and he was shot in his face and it broke his jaw and it was wired shut.
What was the specific protest that he was part of?
This was the protest in June for equality and the police brutality. And as a mom, I didn't want my children down there. And so when I texted them and asked them where they were, and I was informed we're downtown protesting, it was like, no. That was the most difficult thing to go through that Sunday. And then to find out that Monday that my child was actually hit. It took me a second. And then I came to terms with the fact that they're killing them. So if my children don't take a stand and I can't come to terms with the fact that I may lose one of my children for change, then that's not fair because there are a lot of mothers that lost their children in the past for the change that we actually have now, whether it's police brutality, any type of racial, just the fact that they have a lesbian mother and a gay brother. These kids stand up for everything. And they're not kids, but they're my kids. They're grown men. But I had to come to terms with the fact that I could lose my child or my children just on any given day, just being in a car, being pulled over. And I'm not saying that all people are bad people, whether you're in a uniform or out of the uniform, or whether you're black, you're white, whatever. But I knew my children had to stand up for something, and I'm very proud of them. Everybody kind of waited to see how I would handle that initial phone call because nobody wanted me to see the picture of his face when he was hit. But because of my faith and my beliefs and my love for my Creator, I totally trust whatever God put before us. And I think they kind of fed into that. So they were okay. And Anthony struggles sometimes with his face being different than his brother's because they were twins. But I think he realizes that he had to go through this in order to be a voice. And for that, I'm very proud of him.
So I know that lots of times
fear is uppermost in your mind when you think about your black sons. But tell me what's wonderful about them.
Their love for people, all people, and they've always been this way. When they were little, they actually hit, there was a deaf kid in the neighborhood we lived in at the time, and to look out the window and see my kids trying to communicate with this kid to teach him how to eat crawfish, it was like, these are good kids. And just watching them grow as men, and just to love people, all people. Anthony and Arthur are actually caregivers at a facility where they give medications, and they love these people. And they try to give them positive outlooks, even though they're at the end of their journey most of the time, they're going to pass away. But to love them through that, I can tell when they've lost someone, because then I get all those phone calls or text messages, I love you so much, Mama. You know, I'm like, oh, they lost somebody. But they know that death is just part of living. You were born to die. It's just, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. We all get that same ticket. But for them to stay positive and to love people, all people, I love that about them. All of them. All four of my sons are that way.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing them with us all these years. And thanks for your spirit.
Thank you.
Discouraged. Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? And long for heaven and home. And I know.